Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Christ is risen. That's been the theme of the church for the last almost 2,000 years. The traditional Easter greeting, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we declare that. This morning in Syria, there are believers who are worshiping the Lord in that war-torn country. Almost three years ago, there were hardly any believers left. They'd either all fled or had been killed. But God is rebuilding His church in that nation as men and women and boys and girls and teenagers are coming to know the resurrection power of Jesus. This morning in the country of Sri Lanka, people got up to celebrate the resurrection in churches. And about 200 of them were killed by bombers this morning. God is still building His church. Those are our brothers and sisters. God is still building His church in so many places. I'm calling the message this morning, No Fear. And I really should have called it No Angst. Because I'm not talking about the kind of fear this morning that's terrorized fear, but more that sense of dread, that sense of anxiety, that sense of nervousness, of emptiness, that sometimes that sense of desperation that underlies things that are going on in our lives. And so when I say angst, so when I say no fear, I mean that if we understand the resurrection and we understand the power of the resurrection, we can walk free from that deep angst. And so we're going to come to some scriptures in a moment, but I'm going to take a roundabout way to get there. We think of Easter. There's all sorts of songs that come to mind. And we sang some this morning, but we think of, Christ the Lord is risen today. Crown Him with many crowns. Oh, praise the name. How great is our God. He's risen. Songs like that. The list goes on of celebratory of Easter songs. But I want to take us to a totally different type of song to start us off this morning. I want us to take us to Pink Floyd. And his song Time, their song Time from The Dark Side of the Moon. And I want to play a little clip, and I want you to listen to these words. Now the ironic thing is we don't have time to listen to the whole song. But listen to these words. Talking about bad news and good news this morning. And for first, the bad news. Pink Floyd totally nails it. That song just so brilliantly captures an almost universal sense of life. That when you're young, life is long and there's time to kill. And then one day you find that 10 or 20 years has gone by and you think you've missed out on things. You don't think that's true? Well, maybe once you turn 30 or 40, you begin to understand that every year turns greater. And you start thinking, it was incredible that thing that happened. Was that last week or last month or was it last year? It's absolutely impossible to think that, we've got 5 grandkids and that Ursula turns 4 in just a couple of months. Time flies with ever increasing speed. And so sometimes it feels like we're on this train, and the train is picking up speed all the time. And you look out the window of the train, and it just everything's just zooming past you. It goes faster and faster and faster and faster. And then one day you hit a brick wall. Ever increasing speed that just suddenly ends. And you don't know where that wall is, but that's life. Or sometimes it feels like life is just like sand dripping through your fingers. And you want to hang on to it. You want to hang on to a single grain. You want to freeze a moment. You want it to slow down. You want to capture it, but you can't. It's gone. By the time you squeeze it, it's all gone. Time's like that. It goes faster and faster. And every moment, with every grain of sand that passes through, every piece of that picket fence you see as you're zooming by on the train, we get closer to the end, closer to death. In fact, the whole process of getting there is that process of death. We're in that process of dying. What did Pink Floyd say? We run and run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking and racing around. Capture that metaphor. You're chasing the sun, but it's always ahead of you. You're always sinking. You're always older, shorter of breath, one day closer to death. The bad news is we're all dying. If you're over 19, you're losing more cells in your brain than you can create. And you can only repair your system, only so much repair your system it can do on the damage that the world does on it. We're all in the process of dying. And if you're under 18, don't feel too cocky now because you'll get there in a few short years. It's kind of fascinating when you hit certain milestones like 50, the stuff your body starts doing is really weird. You wake up with aches and pains, and you don't know why. You know, when you were younger, you knew. I was hit by a car. I ran a marathon. I played football. I helped somebody move. But when you turn 50 or so, your body doesn't need excuses. The other day I woke up and my elbow was a little sore. I hadn't done anything unusual the day. I hadn't helped anybody move. I hadn't bumped it. Maybe I slept on it wrong, or maybe it was just because it was a Wednesday. Who knows? That's how our bodies work. Some of you don't even bother picking up quarters or loonies anymore. You won't bend down for anything less than a $5 bill. No matter how good a shape we're in, we're all in a state of decay. We're all in a state of apathy, of atrophy. We're all dying. Or you look in the mirror and there's a new wrinkle. Or you sense you're losing some muscle tone. There's a new sag. Or there's that horrifying moment when you look in the mirror or someone says to you, you look like your mother. You look like your father. And you vow you were never going to look like them when you got older. We're dying physically. We're dying in other ways as well. And in case you didn't have enough bad news, let me give you some more. I was reading a little bit from Seneca the Younger, a Roman philosopher. He became the tutor and mentor of Nero. And a couple of his writings are this. He says, "To be born is to begin dying, for death stalks us everywhere. We die every day." And what he meant by that is that every day there's a multitude of possibilities that pass us by. And we've got choices to make. And we eliminate some of those choices because we can't choose everything. We begin to die. In life, there are so many possibilities. Life is a process of doors closing. And the final closing, that cessation of all possibilities, is when they close the casket. And all possibilities cease. We often play sort of the once upon a time game. Once upon a time, I could have been a geologist, but God directed my path, and I chose an avenue of theology and pastoring, and my life takes a different course. I could have been a software engineer. I was invited to be partner of a major business. I could have been a top runner. I there's various romantic relationships I could have pursued, but I chose Janice, and then. And if you really think there was a lot of options, I've got some land in Florida I can sell you. we make choices. And our life is made up of making choices. And possibilities close with every choice we make. Once upon a time, you could have gone to grad school maybe. And you thought about doing that. But for various reasons, that window of opportunity closed. Once upon a time, you could have played in a band. But those possibilities are behind you. Once upon a time, you could have traveled the world or been that missionary to Tanzania, and you thought about it, but for various reasons, that possibility is gone. Once upon a time, you could have married your high school sweetheart, but now she's married, and you're married, and you need to die to that possibility. Life goes on, and possibilities close. And some people pretend that that's not true. Some people try to pretend that the train can go in reverse. Some people pretend they can go back to their glory days. Heather? Love that line at the end. Leaves you with nothing but boring stories of glory days. And I think sometimes as Christians, we're the worst. Ever been in a meeting where somebody asks for stories of what God was doing in your life? And somebody stands up, well, God saved me 50 years ago, or this happened 60 years ago, or this happened 30 years ago. No, boring stories of yesterday. What's God doing? And some people can't let go of the past. And living in those glory days is kind of sad because they miss the now, miss living in the now. And some people try to resurrect those past possibilities that are really behind them. They try to go back to their sweetheart at age 19, and they're going on 50. And, you know, we call that a midlife crisis. And at best, people who do that look silly. At worst, they do some incredible damage, trying to make the train go in reverse. Some of you are thinking, you know, wow, 10 minutes ago, Mike, I was really happy when I came in here. this thing I'm calling angst, this form of fear, what Pink Floyd called quiet desperation. We tend to go through life like that. We realize the train's picking up speed and the sand's running through our hands and life is passing us by. And it creates a sense of angst, of desperation, a sense of anxiety. And you contemplate the reality of hitting the wall and how fragile life really is. You know, when you're younger, you say, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to compete. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to be extraordinary. And now you're in a situation where attaining ordinary would be a great accomplishment. Your great plans have come to naught, or have just amounted to a half a page of scribbled lines. You didn't plan for life to be like that. You thought it'd be fuller. You'd be thought to be a fullness of life. And the absence of that creates this angst. So that's the bad news. Let's move on, because some of you are starting to look a little bit glum. Now, here's the good news. The good news is not that you're not going to die, because you are. If the Lord doesn't come back, as he might well in our generation, we don't know. But if that doesn't happen, we're going to die. We're going to pass on in this life. And if that doesn't happen, we're going to continue to decay. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that's not going to happen. But the good news, the Easter news, is that if we understand and grasp and internalize and recognize the message of the resurrection, we can live free of that angst. We can live free of that dread, that anxiety, that fear over this whole thing. If we understand the resurrection and we can embrace the truth of the resurrection, then we can live in what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 2. Now, this isn't normally seen as an Easter passage, but I think it really is. I've got the translation called The Message up on the screen, but let me read from the New Living Translation. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son of God, Jesus, also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who has the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Those who are held in slavery by their fear of death. Those who live their lives in angst. And there's three things I want us to see quickly in this passage. First, the one who holds the power of death is the devil, which tells us that death and this process of decay was not part of God's beautiful original plan. And as a result of that fact, this world has been seized by principalities and by powers that corrupt everything in this world. And the reason we have this angst and this fear and this dread and this anxiety about death and the dying process, this decay process that we're all part of, the reason we fear all that is because it's not natural to us. It's an alien intrusion on God's beautiful creation. We weren't supposed to be in this way. We weren't supposed to die like this. We weren't supposed to experience this sort of dying process. We weren't supposed to experience aging the way we do. We weren't supposed to see our bodies withering away. We weren't supposed to experience time as irretrievable loss. We weren't supposed to experience the emptiness of unfulfilled dreams. We weren't supposed to live in the insecurity of loss or the fear of failure. That's alien to the way we're wired, to the way that God created us. And it's all there because this world has been seized by powers and principalities, headed up by the devil. And the devil holds us in bondage by the fear he creates through death and the dying process. But secondly, notice that Jesus came to break the power of him who holds the power of death. Jesus came to break that power. In fact, in 1 John 3:8, John writes, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and death is his primary work. And so by becoming a human being, as Hebrews 2 tells us, by becoming a human being through his life and through his ministry, through his teaching, through his death, through his resurrection, Jesus broke the evil one's stronghold on this world. In Christ, God's unfathomable love defeated death itself. In Christ, God's life defeated death. God's wholeness defeated destruction. God's light vanquished all darkness. In Christ, God brought about the death of all death and the destruction of all destruction. See, in Christ, all that looks like and all that smells like and all that tastes like and all that feels like or is associated in any way with death has been literally put to death. Christ the Lord is risen today. Amen? Amen. In Christ, our sin and everything that held us in bondage in our sin, the condemnation, the alienation, the sickness, the disease, the hostility, that's been put away in Christ. The devil has been defeated. Now, we say, well, but we don't really understand that. We don't live in that. You know, that's right. We don't see it all manifested. We still live under demonic illusion. That's not true. But God's in the process of having his kingdom being manifested in this world, even in the midst of a world that's still under the death grip of these principalities and powers. And you see bits and pieces of that in so many places. You know, we see it in Syria, where 3 years ago there were hardly any believers left in the country. And God is raising up men and women who follow him. And his church is being established. We see in Sri Lanka, 200 people killed today. But out of the blood of the martyrs, God's going to raise up many more believers. The Afar people in Ethiopia were known as a violent, killing people. And more of them are coming to know the transforming power of Jesus today. God is at work. So death, here's the third part. First of all, death in the process of decay was not part of God's original beautiful plan. Jesus came to break the power of him who holds the power of death. And then thirdly, if we understand and internalize, not just theoretically believe, but really understand in the core of our being that we can be free from all of that. We can know God's freedom in such a powerful and glorious way. And when we think about it in this way, Jesus' resurrection is the sign that the devil was defeated on Calvary. And when the Lord of death is defeated by him who put him to death, he can't possibly stay death. And so in defeating the Lord of death, death can no longer hold him. Jesus rises from the dead. And when he rose from the dead and later ascended into heaven, he shared with us the spoils of his victory. He shared with us the life that he won on Calvary. Resurrection faith frees us from fear and from anxiety and angst and despair and desperation. And He unleashes into this world, He unleashes into your life, into my life, literally a brand new kind of life, resurrection life, God's eternal life. Not something that starts after you die and you go to heaven, but something that is real now. It's what God calls abundant life. It's God's own life, characterized by love and joy and peace and grace that's brought to us by His Holy Spirit, who is God Himself. It's a new kind of life, a life that's not threatened by death. It's not threatened by the process of death, because God Himself isn't threatened by death. And God Himself now lives in us if we're followers, if we're disciples, if we're apprentices of Jesus. He's the one who lives in us and breathes His life into us as we give our lives over to Him. You see, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, and when we participate in His resurrection, we participate in His resurrected Spirit. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in us. It's the same power that was in Jesus that's at work in us. It's the same Spirit that defeated the devil and overcome death that abides in us as followers of Jesus. And if we understand that, and we believe it, and most importantly, let it sit in the very core of our being, that roots out all angst. It roots out all fear. It roots out all death, all dread of death, of decay, or of anything. You know, I can stand before you this morning and say, I don't fear death. I'm free of the fear of death. And while I know my body is wasting away, and maybe it's wasting away at a slower rate for me than it is for some of you, it's still wasting away, because I know I've got Jesus' life in me. And so in light of that, as I understand that and I internalize that, and if I walk in that, I don't fear death of this physical body, because the resurrection life of Jesus is in me. And if we believe in it and internalize the resurrection, it frees us to live free of all that. We don't need to try and cling to death. Yes, we cling to you, I should say. We take care of ourselves because we want our bodies to be healthy so we can be a service of the Lord, so we can be around as long as He wants us to do it. It's good to be healthy, and I encourage that, but we don't desperately cling to that. And no matter how old and decrepit I get, and I'm not there yet, but I can say with perfect integrity, the best is yet to come. And the reason we often chase after dreams of whether it's bigger houses or bigger boats or health or all sorts of stuff is because we get messed up in our head. And what we're really longing for is peace and joy and meaning and hope, and most of all, a relationship with Jesus. But we get our homing devices all mixed up, and we go chasing after all this stuff. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He's made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." He's redeeming all things. He's declaring redemptive value out of all things. And we understand that and grasp that. Internally, in the deep, deep places, it enables us to live life free of regrets, free of fear. And we begin to recognize that we can walk forward in step with Jesus. Because I know, and you should know too, that our worth isn't rooted in our successes, and our core value isn't affected by our failures. And because we understand the big picture, we know that Jesus is risen. And so when I fail miserably, and when we try stuff in life and it doesn't work out, it doesn't affect the core identity that we have. It doesn't affect our core worth. It doesn't affect the sense of fullness of life. The resurrection frees you and I to live boldly, to walk boldly, to take those steps of risk where appropriate, to strive for new heights, to never settle for what is, but to venture out, to stick your neck out once in a while. Frees you to dare, to enter into new relationships, to welcome new relationships, even if you've been burned in the past. It frees you to be creative. It frees you to be fearless. It frees you to do life that gets you out of your comfort zone, to get out of that safe zone that actually becomes more like a prison to our lives. The bottom line is that resurrection means that we can be free from fear. We can be free from angst. We can be free from dread and from worry and anxiety. There's nothing that we can acquire. And there's nothing that we can possibly lose that affects the core of who we are eternally. There's nothing that we can acquire, nothing you can grab hold of, nothing that you can possibly lose that affects the core of who you are eternally if you are in Jesus Christ. Whatever you can acquire in life, that's not going to add one little bit to what Christ has done. And whatever you can lose in life, that's not going to take away from that life you have in Christ one little bit. Your identity is in the life of Christ within you. And if that's true, what's there to worry? What's there to fear? What's there to stir up angst? In Christ, you are free. And that freedom is partly to be free of the pervasive anxiety and fear and dread and angst. Now, as I said earlier, Pink Floyd, I think, brilliantly captured one way of looking at the dying process. It's inevitable. It's pointless. It's sheer loss. And so many live in fear of that. The resurrection, however, empowers us to completely reframe the meaning of death and the dying process. The dying process we're all involved in isn't always pleasant. Those of you who've walked with people through that dark valley know it's not. But from the perspective of the resurrection, we can reframe it. You know, a baby inside the womb, so nice and safe. Everything's going right. He or she has all their needs being met. This is the only world that they know. And that child, that infant is so very, very happy. That thumb is all they need. And they're going along really good and enjoying themselves. And then one day, for that baby, its world literally starts crashing in on itself. And I'm sure if we could understand what babies are thinking, they're thinking, this is the end. This is the end. And if babies could carry signs, they'd have a sign that says, the end is near. And all of a sudden, there's this release, and there's this pushing, and this little person can't connect with what's ahead, especially this birth canal. I'm not going through that tiny thing. This clearly wasn't designed for me. And mom's thinking the same thing. Yeah. And so the baby's freaking out because it thinks it's dying. It's moving from this safety, this nice, warm, comfortable place, through this really narrow, tight, being pushed and shoved out into this cold world. And for us, the aging, dying process is sometimes like the world caving in on us. And your elbow or your shoulder doesn't work as it once did, and your body starts shutting down, and you're thinking, this isn't working, and this isn't working. But you see, if we understand, and we believe, and we internalize the meaning of the resurrection, it becomes the whole process of being born. And it happens, and it operates at so many different levels. And what the enemy intends for evil, God intends for good. It's like we're tiny babies in the gestation period, and there are contraction pains. And Paul uses that image in Romans 8. We know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, to daughtership, the redemption of our bodies. Birth pains aren't always pleasant. But you got to know what's on the other side. And when you're walking with Jesus, we don't always get a clear picture of what's on the other side. But we fix our eyes on Him. When we walk with Him, He brings us into new experiences. He brings us into new life. Eventually a new heaven and a new earth where there's no more cancer and no more death and no more war and no more racism and no more violence and no more devil and no more principalities and powers and no more sin and no more darkness and no more hatred and no more blindness and no more pains. But even now, bringing us into new life, where we experience His life, His peace, His joy, His grace, His forgiveness, overwhelming and flowing through us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. And as we invite you and close your eyes, and as we pray, I want to ask God's Spirit to seal this message on our hearts, to help us take away what we need to take away from it. And first of all, I want to say, if you're here this morning and your life is not surrendered to Jesus, let me encourage you to do that now. I'm not asking, do you believe in Jesus? Because you need to do that, of course. But what matters is He Lord? To be surrendered to Him as Lord means you make Him the driver of your life. You let Him be in the driver's seat of your life. You don't live life your way any longer. You live it His way. And if you're not in that situation, I invite you to surrender your life to Him. This isn't a magical thing that you do, but it's an ongoing thing. Surrendering your life to Him. There's no magic words or anything like that. It's just saying something like, Lord, take my life. I turn it over to You. I seek to let You live Your life in me in Your way. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a birthright to live without angst and without fear. That's your birthright. Let the Holy Spirit bring to your attention, even as we close in these last moments, maybe one area where that fear and that angst and that dread is rising to the surface. Maybe there's lots of areas, but think about one. Whether it's your finances or your looks or your your future, whatever. What's it look like? Hold that area of your life in your hands. With all the angst, with all the fear that is represented there. And give it to Jesus. Simply say, Jesus, I give this to You. And as you do that, pray this kind of prayer. Lord, help me to live without fear. I know Your perfect love casts out fear. I know that I'll live forever in Your presence, so I don't need to fear losing this. I let it go. And I replace my fear with Your life. I replace my fear with Your peace that passes understanding. I replace my fear with Your joy that's beyond words. Empower me to let go of everything I need to let go of. Empower me not to cling to stuff. Empower me to die to my earthly self. So it's no longer I that live, but Jesus who lives within me. Empower me to be free of all anxiety, of all dread, of all despair, of all fear, of all angst. Holy Spirit, seal this in our hearts. Seal this freedom, this total, this unconditional, this uncompromising, this unquenchable freedom, freedom from fear. So thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for defeating the enemy, for rising from the dead, for freeing us who all of our life have lived in fear and the dying process. You have set us free, and we give You praise. And all God's people said, Amen, amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.